This is the Austin Life Church podcast. For more information, please visit us at austinlifechurch.com.
True religion, true faith, is not those who just necessarily do the part and look the part and obey the rules and are good boys and girls, but are those who worship by the Spirit of God in them and boast only and point only to, shine the light only on Jesus as their hope and their life, and put no confidence in themselves to measure up. A true Christian is that, is the one who worships by the Spirit of God in them. Is the Spirit of God in you? Is the Spirit of God in you? You are truly His if the Spirit of God is in you. Romans 8, verse 9. It says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." Michaela, leave that verse up for just a second longer. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ in them does not actually belong to Him. You may look the part from top to bottom on the outside, but if the Spirit of God is not in you, then you're not His. Do you worship by the Spirit? We all worship, every one of us. If you are alive, you are worshiping. To worship is just to devote your life to that which you value most. Right, to worship is to say something is most important and I live my life towards that end. Some people worship body image and their life is spent towards looking a certain way. Some people worship money and they give their life's efforts and thoughts and energy to making more money. Some people worship sex and they just want to have physical gratification however they can, and that's what they're ultimately about. Some people worship success. If I can climb the ladder and get to this part, then I will know that I've measured up. Right? If you are breathing right now, which please, I hope you are, right? You are a worshiper. Something matters most. And Paul is saying those who are truly His are those that live their lives by the power of the Spirit in them, transforming them to be like more Jesus, to be more like Jesus. You are truly His if the Spirit of God is in you. You can scientifically test if my kids are my kids. How? Because my DNA is in them. Part of me is in them. You can know those are my kids. Paul says you can know you are His if part of Him is in you. If His spiritual DNA is literally in you, then you know you're His. The Spirit of God dwells in you, making you His son or His daughter. Also, how do you know if the Spirit of God is in you? Those who glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Do you believe that Jesus, and only Jesus, makes you a son and daughter of God? Do you trust in Jesus and only Jesus to make you right with God? False religion says, obey and you'll be accepted. True religion, the gospel, says, you're accepted by Jesus. Therefore, now go and obey. The acceptance is by Christ alone. Let me ask you this. The Bible says that one day we'll die and we'll all stand before God and face judgment. Every one of us, according to the Scripture, will stand before God and be measured, be judged for our life to determine if we are His or if we are not His. So when you stand before God on that day, what will determine if you are His? What will make you acceptable to God? What will make you fit for the kingdom of God? Is it because you've been baptized? Because you prayed this prayer when you were young, and therefore, because you prayed a prayer and asked Jesus in your heart, that's what makes you right? Is it because you're here? You're in church and you're listening to this sermon and you've been to church your whole life. It's a priority to you. You're not going to miss it. Is it because you read the Bible or because you're a good person? I remember my old church, I was working with the AC unit and a repair guy was there and we were just talking about faith. And I asked him, I said, well, what makes you believe that you're right with God? And his summary was, I think I'm a good enough person for the God that I know. I mean, how many people do we know, or is it us, that think, man, if God is good and I'm a good person, then in the end, it has to work out okay. What makes you fit for the presence of God? Paul says if we boast in anything, if we point to anything of our own doing, confidence in ourselves, if we point to anything other than Jesus and only Jesus, then we've believed a false religion. We've trusted our lives in something that in the end will deceive us. Jesus and only Jesus. These Pharisees, these Judaizers, as they called it, believed that it was a belief in God plus their obedience is what made them right. You have to believe in God, of course, but you also have to obey and do the right things in order to be accepted. The problem with that is the standard that God expects from you. The problem with believing that our acceptance to God depends on what we do or don't do at some level is the standard that God has for us. If you want God to judge you based on how good or not good you are, he will. But just know the standard is perfection. From the moment you're born to the moment you die, if you want God to judge you based on what you bring to the table, he will. But you have to bring a perfect record because God is holy. He's perfect. He's without blemish. And if he is to mix with those who are not holy, it makes him unholy. He can't commingle with sin. He can't be united with that which is not holy. And so the problem with these religious people is not perhaps that they're probably very good, very moral. The problem is they still fell well short of the standard of perfection. And so if they want acceptance based on what they do, they'll never measure up. They'll always fall short. If we want God to accept us because we're good people, we have to realize the metric with which he measures by is not the people around us, but is the perfect holy Son of God. That's his measurement. And so Paul's like, be on guard. Don't buy into that lie. It's a mirage. You'll never measure up. Paul says, take it from me. Verses 4 through 6, Paul says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. Blameless. Paul says if anyone is going to be able to pull their spiritual resume out and offer it to God, and God's going to be impressed with it, Paul says it's me. Right? If you think you're super spiritual, I've got you beat. Let me just give one measurement, right? Paul, a Pharisee, by the time he was in his late teen years, had memorized the entire Old Testament. I struggle to read the entire Old Testament, much less memorize it. by a teen, right? By a teenage year. He'd already memorized the whole Old Testament because he believed he better measure up to what it said so that he could be accepted. Right? Paul just gives this list of super Christian, right? Of the person who walks in here and they're like, I don't read my Bible from a phone. I read it from the Greek and Hebrew text, you know? Let me pull out my journal, right? They're like, man, I got all of Titus like tattooed on my rib cage. Like, I got the parts. I don't even watch TV unless it's The Chosen, you know? I mean, is this the person that comes in here, and again, we would look at it and we would go, no, they're crushing it. Right? We would look around and we'd go, him, her. Shoo in. Paul's like, I looked apart. If anyone's going to look the part, it's Paul. His name, according to the rules of the Bible, blameless. Absolutely blameless, crushed it. And then he says in verse 7, but whatever gain I would list on my spiritual resume to impress God with, I count as loss. I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from obeying the Bible, but a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, the only righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul says, I've got the spiritual resume that everyone would be envious of. But it's a loss compared to Christ. He says, if I were to present God the reasons that he should accept me based on my performance, it's rubbish. And that's a gentle, kind English translation of it's dirty toilet paper. Isaiah says, if I present my holiness to God, it's filthy rags compared to his holiness. Gentle English translation of a menstrual pad. My best days are filthy compared to his holiness and righteousness. All of my good works, all of my good church-going behavior, all of that, man, it's good compared to other people, but when you compare it to Jesus, it's filthy. It falls so short of the standard and metric with which God holds me to. My only hope, Paul says here, is the righteousness of Christ that comes by faith. My only hope is that the righteousness of Jesus will be my acceptance to God. That when I stand before God to be judged, he looks at me and he sees Christ in front of me. That I've trusted in Jesus to make me acceptable. That I'm boasting only in Jesus, that I'm shining the spotlight only on Jesus. Why should I let you in, Corey? Because of him. Because he's righteous, and he said I can get behind him. And so that's what I'm doing. Why should I let you in, Sam? Because of Jesus. Because he lived a perfect life, and he said that I can get behind him, and he'll give me his credit. So him, that's it. Paul says, if I boast in myself, if I try to hold Jesus on my side as my good buddy, but also present myself, God's going to say, Jesus measured up, but you didn't. It's only Jesus. Faith, trust in him. Look, y'all are all good people. I believe it. I believe it. You're good kids. You're staying out of trouble. It's not enough. You're not good enough for God. We never will be. And if we believe that our good works earn God's favor, it's a false religion that will have eternal consequences. The only way we're accepted by the Father is by the perfect record of Jesus given to us by faith in him, by trusting him. Paul says, this Christ, he's of greater worth and value than anything else. Paul, how did he get here, right? He's a grown adult. He's had decades, generations of false faith in religion. Right? How many of you were raised by parents that taught Jesus in the Bible? Good chunk of us. Would you say that's naturally what you believed as you were growing up? Maybe you questioned it as you got older, but as you're growing up, it's kind of naturally where you lean. Paul's got generations pointing him to this false religion. You believe in God, yes, but you better perform. You better behave in order to be accepted. What changed in Paul where he said, none of my behavior made me belong? In Acts 9, you see Paul come face to face with the risen Savior, with the risen King of Kings. And it's like the lights came on. He saw true blamelessness for the first time. And when he saw the true blamelessness of Jesus, he knew that his blamelessness was a joke compared to Christ. When he saw true righteousness, he knew, oh, my righteousness is rubbish compared to Jesus. I'll never measure up. But that's when he also heard the invitation of Jesus that said, come follow me, trust me, and I'll forgive your sins and I'll give you my righteousness. That's the supernatural exchange that Jesus offers every one of us. Is that our spiritual resume, as good as I'm sure it is filthy compared to the righteousness of Jesus. We're all sinners. And when we trust in Christ, he takes away our sins and rewrites our record and just says, righteous, paid for by Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've measured up or if you know you haven't. Right? We've all fallen short. It's only by faith in the complete work of Jesus that makes us right. And Paul, he now says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul sees the resurrected Jesus and he goes, that is blamelessness. And if that is what follows death to myself, then I want to die to myself and I want to know the resurrection of Jesus. I want to know real life. Have you seen the gospel? That your acceptance by God is fully on the shoulders of Jesus. His perfect life, his sacrificial death, and the fact that he's alive today, able to get us in behind him. This wasn't just an invitation for those that lived in 60 AD. It's an invitation to us today, almost 2,000 years later, because the same Savior is still alive. The same Jesus that met Paul is the same Jesus that meets us today and offers us the same exchange. our sins for his righteousness. How do you receive it? You trust him. You trust him fully. And he says, come on, son and daughter, let's go. Now we walk. Now we grow. Now we become more like him. It's not doing the work on the front end that gets us there. It's simply receiving his grace. Have you received his grace? Do you know that? Watch out for a false religion that will tell you it's anything other than Jesus, and only Jesus, that makes you right with him. The incredible value and worth of knowing him is far greater than anything else this world has to offer. Take it from Paul. He's tried.
Thanks for tuning in to the Austin Life Church podcast. To help support us, please take a second to rate and review us on iTunes and visit us at austinlifechurch.com.